Shalom, grace, and peace. In the Spirit of Christ, we offer a heartfelt and unconditional welcome into the beloved community called Mayflower. Whether you are here in person or joining by Facebook live stream, I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Michigan's capital city, Lansing. I'm joined by our worship team, including greeters Bob Z and Sue Kohler, acolyte Bob Z, worship coordinator Lorraine Finneson, minister of music Barb Fuller, accompanist Deanne McCormick, and liturgist Roger Kennedy and pastor Rachel Garris. Our special musicians today include 13 members of the famous Bell Choir performing here annually at Mayflower. They are known as Finneson Family and Friends. And Lorraine now comes to introduce them so you can put names with faces.
Yeah. There'll be a test, so pay attention. I'm going to start at the top end. Some of these people you will recognize. Laura Sparks, Shannon Quinn, you will recognize. Lindsay Finneson-Smith is Kim's daughter. And Sarah Diamond, Jane Wright, founder of the Capital City Ringers, Dave Hafey, our own Ann McClellan, Stu Talsma, Justin Farmer, and then back down here in the base, this is Kyle Diamond, Sarah's husband, and Rick Hoberla, and you all know Kim. And I'm Lorraine. So we hope that you'll enjoy our pieces today. We like to put this together on two pretty quick rehearsals, and these guys are just pros, and we're just happy to have you all here to hear them today, and we're happy to have them here to be heard by you. How's that?
And the director.
Oh, yeah, Barb is sitting out there, hiding behind Dave Hafey. You all know her, too.
No requirements to stay for the sermon, but if you'd like, folks, you're welcome. Our announcements begin with a very important one by Roger Kennedy.
Thanks, Mark. I wasn't aware I had to be quick, but here we go. If I'm standing up here making announcements, you know I'm going to ask you for something. So this coming month, members of the Outreach and Missions Committee have decided that we need to once again support Luton School with school supplies. Luton, of course, will not be occupied across the street. It will be torn down any time now, and the students are going to be at Wood Creek School. I don't know how they're all going to fit in there, but that's the plan. There is a big, nice pink sheet on the bulletin board with a list of school supplies. We will collect those supplies during the month of September. There'll be a carton by between the piano and the big blue box in Fellowship, in Friendship Center. So please help us fill it up. There is always a need, and the teachers always have to supplement what the kids and their families supply. Also, I wanted to thank you very much. We did collect $1,400 for the Texas flood relief. It was very generous of the congregation, so thanks a lot. Also, Lugnuts pictures are going to be on display in the Friendship Center after church, so be sure and take a look at those. And I think, thanks to Karen and Kim, they will also be on the monitor back there. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. That was plenty good and plenty quick. There is a sign-up sheet for ice cream toppings in the Friendship Center. It's on the table back there. So when you go back after our worship service, you can add to the special flavors of the day, which is our ice cream social, which will occur on September 14th. following our worship service, and the entire neighborhood will be invited in. We'll be outdoors and enjoy some ice cream, lots of different toppings, and I think we'll even have a clown doing his thing like he usually does. How's that? His thing, yeah, like making balloons for the kids and causing causing cars to stop and wonder what's going on and stopping in. That'll be good. For all of our attendees today, we ask you to familiarize yourself with our worship protocol and mission statements, which are printed in the bulletin, including the fact that we do not pass offering plates during worship. Giving is voluntary, and your presence in this service is a gift to God and a gift to us. If you have come prepared with a financial offering, of course, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary, and we will share a moment together, as always, in worship, where we offer to God the gift of ourselves. Thank you for your continued caring and sharing. Join us, if you are able, following worship in the Friendship Center of our church. No program today, just food, fun, and fellowship. Emphasis on fun. Our worship theme today is the prophetic dilemma. The prophet Isaiah visits this dilemma between personal religion and social justice. We will do the same to the best of our ability as the theme of our worship. Let us now be in a spirit of worship.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower, once again.
Good morning.
It is a blessing to greet the beloved community as we have gathered for worship on a beautiful Sunday morning. Thanks for coming. Other blessings include more seasonal temperatures we are enjoying as the heat and humidity have moderated, and we can all appreciate looking into the bluer skies as smoke from the Canadian wildfires has diminished. The ability to breathe clean air is a great blessing. Our worship theme today is Prophetic Dilemma. This dilemma, well known to the ancient prophets as well as modern day preachers, is a desire to understand the benefits of God's law and encourage each other to uphold it, while at the same time perceiving the meaning and purpose of the law. The difference between the letter and spirit of the law is not a new concept, of course, but when it comes to the biblical instructions for the Sabbath observance, one of the Ten Commandments, our culture is not very conducive to acceptance nor understanding. We trust that each part of this service will help us navigate this dilemma and others as well. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
eternal God of love and grace, we gather with expectant minds and grateful hearts. When we enter your house, we expect your presence to grace our sanctuary. We also express our gratitude to you for the privilege to gather with the beloved community in peace, safety, and unity. We are also grateful for the rest on this day we call the Sabbath. As we examine the commandment to keep and honor the Sabbath, help us to see that our need for rest is built into the very fabric of creation. Forgive us for our tendency to violate this God-given principle of the universe and our willingness to let our culture dictate our actions. May this be a day of rest as we ask for respite from the stress and anxiety of everyday life, and as we seek rest for our weary souls. This we pray in the name and spirit of Christ. Amen. Thank you.
I love music and I love to play bells, but after listening to this group with the talent and the difficulty of that piece so beautifully done, I can now understand why I am not a member of Finneson Family and Friends. The concept of stewardship transcends anything we do within the walls of the church. It includes the stewardship of Earth's precious resources, being responsible household managers, caring for our neighbors, providing for our families, and supporting charitable causes, including the commitments we make as a beloved community of faith. With all those things in mind, let us now offer to God the gift of our time, the gifts of our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed, our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God of love and light, we gather in this sacred space, mindful of all that stirs our hearts, including beautiful music, and the hearts that are stirred because of the stories we have heard and seen on television, the stories of grief, the fragility of our planet and its peoples. An urgent human need. So call us today, beyond our default of apathy, into compassionate action that goes well beyond our prayers. With that, may our prayers rise as our shared breath for justice, for mercy, and hope. We lament the famine that has now been officially declared in Gaza City, where 2.2 million people endure suffering, relentless war, and the unimaginable weight of hunger and poverty and hopelessness, especially for children and families. Help us to move beyond lament to hope and healing as we pray, as we speak, as we protest, and as we vote. Give us opportunities to put our action to our prayers as we support, help, and continue to lament for the war in Ukraine, which rages on, and other hotspots of disaster and human suffering. We offer our prayers as well as our support, our help, our voice, and our attention. We pray for our continued attention when it is so easy to forget. Thank you for the gift of music in our worship and for all those who rehearse, prepare, perform, and listen. Continue to be with us in our continuing time of worship and the fellowship which follows as we now remember those within our circles of love and care who need our prayers, as we lift first names of those upon our hearts to you just now, out loud. And I include the names of Gil and Marcia and David. Give us now, O Lord, unity of purpose and prayer as we share and pray the prayer of our Lord like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 9b to 14. Have you ever memorized the Ten Commandments? How about the one honoring the Sabbath? Jesus got into lots of trouble for breaking this law, yet he profoundly understood its purpose. Let's try to follow in his footsteps. Hear now these words. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. Amen. I don't know if I mentioned our production engineers today, one of whom you see all the time was up here, and his faithful assistant is back there learning the ropes. So thanks, and thanks to all of our online listeners as we see your comments and know that you are tuned in, and we appreciate that. Today, an entirely new concept of preaching to the choir is before me today. So, folks, just get ready, okay? I love the way they sing as well as the way they play these lovely instruments. Well, I'm not a very good substitute for Moses, but here goes. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Mayflower. The statutes and ordinances that I am addressing you today, you shall learn them and observe them diligently. The prophetic dilemma is the same as the preacher's dilemma. How do you emphasize the importance of keeping commandments, paying attention to spiritual disciplines, and at the same time honoring God by offering food to the hungry and satisfying the needs of the afflicted, as we've heard in the reading? In other words, how do we bridge the gap between the importance of personal religion as well as the urgency and necessity for social justice? The commandment to keep the Sabbath day is a good example of this dilemma. It's in the lectionary, chosen reading for today. And so while there are many other commandments, this is the one that will receive the focus today because it is kind of Exhibit A. Is there anyone here that has the Ten Commandments memorized? Neither do I. How many places in the scripture do we find the Ten Commandments? I do know this one, but I had a correct answer. Who said it?
Two.
There are two, yes. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, if you want to check them out. And they are a little different. Here is the one from Deuteronomy 5 describing the commandment regarding the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your town, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And here's the most honest part of this sermon today. I hope it's all honest, but according to my past, Sabbath observance was a royal pain in the neck for me as a child and into my youth. I might even use more serious terminology if I were talking to some friends. The only reading material allowed in our home growing up was the paper I received in my Sunday school class or the Bible, and I didn't like to read either one of them at that time. I couldn't participate in any recreational activity or sports, which including simply playing catch or going swimming, two activities among many others that I enjoyed. I remember one time when my grandfather told me that if he went swimming, he thought the Lord would strike him dead with a bolt of lightning. That scared me. I attended church twice on just about every Sunday, and until I was about 10, I had to take a nap on Sunday afternoons. I hated naps. Once, when I was 16, when we were visiting friends on a Sunday afternoon who lived on a lake, my parents were preoccupied with a visit, and I saw my opportunity. They had a ski boat, and the teenagers took us out to the dock when I decided to go water skiing, and I loved to water ski because we didn't have a boat and my opportunities were limited. I was having a blast. Until I saw my mother, when I was clear on the other side of the lake, my mother was standing on the dock hollering at the top of her voice. "It's Sunday," she yelled. "Stop right now." As I came around to the dock, I reluctantly let go of the rope, sank to my waist in the water near the shore, released the skis, which I carried back to dry land, and changed from a borrowed swimsuit into my Sunday clothes. My friends were confused, and I was a little more than just a little peeved and totally embarrassed. I wish someone would have sat me down at an early age and explained to me the reason for the Sabbath, the universal need for rest, and how it would enhance my life, increase my productivity, draw me closer to God, and ironically bring me closer to the people that I love. I learned the how of keeping the Sabbath, but unfortunately, I did not learn the why. These days, although I am blessed with an abundant supply of energy for my age, which for which I am extremely grateful, I appreciate and value the Sabbath. I should say I appreciate the value of Sabbath, not as much as I would say the Sabbath. For us pastors, Sabbath is not Sunday. But for me, it is Monday or some other day of the week. This church has always been great at encouraging and then providing opportunities for me to get away, take time, and get some rest. And I must pay a tribute many times over 8 years when Lorraine, who would tell me from a distance on the phone, just stay home, work from home, or just enjoy yourself, or get the lawn mowed, or whatever you want to do. And I have appreciated through the years those little kind gestures of don't feel like you have to work 24/7. And although I am not always as diligent as I should be at honoring Sabbath, I realize that rest, relaxation, and rejuvenating recreation are essential elements in maintaining a happy, healthy, and spiritually productive life. And it also works well for a healthy spiritual life. For what it is worth, I debated whether I would share this, but I had a recent complete physical, and the doctor looked at me and he said, "You should be very fortunate." He said, "I don't see anybody, let alone 71-year-old people, that have numbers as good as you." And for most of that, I'm lucky. For the rest of it, I give credit to my wife. But I am grateful for the stamina which allows me to continue to serve in a full-time capacity as your pastor cheerfully and with zest and enthusiasm during what could be considered retirement years. And yes, sometimes I get a little jealous of the retired life, but then I'm quickly reminded, especially by my wife, of how happy and joyful it is to continue my work as your pastor with no end game. The only thing I've said, and I've said it to you, that I want to leave this pulpit before people want me to leave this pulpit. Think about the last time you felt truly rested. Not just an extra hour of sleep, but a deep rest where your soul could breathe. Unfortunately, in our fast-paced culture where productivity is prized, time management is overly emphasized, and specific goals are outlined, one can feel guilty in order to keep up, keep your job, and keep ahead. When union contracts included double time for pay for work on Sundays, paychecks went up, but church attendance went down, and health care bills went up. It is counterproductive. On the other hand, were it not for unions like the UAW, and I live in the town where the sit-down strike happened in 1937, where most of us in some way, shape, or form, directly or indirectly, have benefited. If that hadn't have happened, most of us would have to work harder and longer for less pay and with more meager benefits. Dan Cathy is his name. He was the former CEO of Chick-fil-A. Once said that the company's decision to close on Sundays wasn't just religious. It was about health, the health of the staff, the health of the customers, and the health of himself. And people thought, and I remember this, that the company would lose money. Instead, it grew exponentially. Why? Because rest works, Sabbath works. I've been amazed when they put a new Chick-fil-A near where we live. And to this day, you can drive by any time of the day and see cars lined up. I don't know how people want to wait 25 minutes for a chicken sandwich. But I've had one or two of them, and they do taste pretty good. Biblical Sabbath is God's gift to counter the endless grind of which we have all been or are familiar with. Of all the Ten Commandments, the commandment regarding Sabbath observance is quite unique. Other commandments like do not murder and do not steal are inherently moral laws. Doesn't take much to interpret those kinds. But the law to remember and keep the Sabbath is obviously the most detailed, the longest, and is the only one which is purely ceremonial. In Exodus 20, Sabbath is rooted in creation. When the writer tells us, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and rested on the seventh." In Deuteronomy 5, from which I read, Sabbath is about liberation. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and God brought you out. Therefore, the Lord commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Have you ever had something good in your life that you attributed to God, and you told God that you would never forget it, and then you forgot it? I'm in that category, folks. The slaves resisted Pharaoh, who never gave a day off. It could be argued that rest is, most importantly, not for the powerful, but for the employees, for immigrants who work the fields and provide our food, for the house cleaners that sanitize our hotel rooms, for children who in this country once had to work long hours in factories, often in unsafe conditions, and even animals that in the history of our own civilized country have been abused in profit-making operations. That goes on even today. Sabbath is about justice. The low-wage earners, those who do manual labor in difficult situations, in bad weather, and during hours when everyone else is off. Think about it. No wonder, then, that Isaiah said, "If you call the Sabbath a delight, then you shall delight in the Lord." But something happened. By Jesus' day, the Sabbath had become an identity badge under Roman rule. Similarly, it felt like that for me as a kid, that to refrain from activities on Sunday was something that identified me as a Christian, rather than recognizing the value of God's economy, the concern for the weak, and the universal need for rest. I remember that as sincere it was, I was taught to remind other people that, no, I would never do that on Sundays or on the Sabbath, as some kind of a badge of honor. It was all so sincere, but so misguided. When the motive is mere identity, fences began to be built around laws and commandments. Fences means extra rules, more restrictions, and more policing. The extra rules for Sabbath included in Jesus' day how far one could walk, what you could carry, and whether or not you could heal someone. It sounds absurd. As if we would go to the nurses at Sparrow Hospital and say, "We're not sure if you're needed on Sundays." When Sabbath is to bring relief and rest to others, when we offer food to the hungry and do everything we can to satisfy the needs of the afflicted, it brings a Sabbath of peace and contentment to our souls in a very unique kind of way. It repairs the breach, raises up the fabric of the family, rebuilds ancient ruins, and yes, it brings delight to our souls. Jesus stirred the pot not because he wanted to create trouble, but because he wanted to lift people beyond mere survival and mere identity. Jesus realized that basic human need transcends any day of the week, any rule, or any law. The same for healing. Strict adherence to the law of the Sabbath would actually let someone die. Jesus asks, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" Understanding the purpose of the law brings life, healing, and health to our bodies and to our spirits. Following rules for rules' sake brings death. On one Sabbath day, the disciples were hungry. They plucked heads of grain as they walked. And the Pharisees immediately pounced on that one. "That's harvesting. That's work." Jesus answered with a story of David, the revered king, who ate sacred bread when he was desperate. Then he repeated the line that should be tattooed on every stressed out forehead. "The Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath." Now, Jesus wasn't anti-Sabbath. He loved it. He went to the synagogue. He sought rest and was even sleeping in the boat during a fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee. He honored God's rhythm of nature, but he refused to let the Sabbath or any other law become a straitjacket. And that's why Jesus was dangerous, because under Roman rule, Sabbath observance was a marker and an identifier rather than thought of as a gift that God had given to all humankind. In a recent sermon, I told you that our salvation is not a transaction with God to make God happy. It is our response to an invitation from a loving God who desires nothing more than a relationship, and that is transforming. We are not machines. We are not what we produce. We are beloved, created beings who need direction and who need love, and we are invited into holy rest of Sabbath and a peace that passes all understanding. God's laws, God's commands, then, need not be a burden to bear, but a breath to take. God's laws are not rules to keep, but rhythms to remember. They do not or should not create fear, but in them and with them our souls will flourish. God's heart is behind all the commandments, as misunderstood and misinterpreted as they have been. God does not restrict life, but expands it. God does not want to bind us. God wants to bless us. Abraham Joshua Heschel, a wonderful Jewish rabbi, close friends with very well-known Christian ministers in the earlier part of the 20th century, said that Sabbath is like a cathedral in time. We build cathedrals out of stone. God builds one out of hours. Every 7 days, the doors open if we will walk in. As people walking into this cathedral, this beloved community, we want people to step inside and find a cathedral filled with peace, with laughter, music, and grace. A cathedral of unconditional love, a no judgment zone, in a place where God can speak in an unfiltered capacity to each one of our hearts. Nothing Jesus said was more significant than when asked what was the greatest commandment. And he gave us two upon which all the law and prophets depend, including the law of the Sabbath. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And once again, all, not some, but all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We draw near to God when we follow God's gift of commandments. These commandments are not limited or confined to 10. They are not to be amended, debated, or divided, nor are they intended to be placed in a school or public building as a dividing line between religions with sectarian or political interests. They are not intended to be a noose around our necks. In announcing the new covenant, the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31 announced that God's covenant but will be written on the hearts of God's people and will be made with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be God's people. That is called personal conscience, and is something we honor diligently in the congregational way, and hopefully in all of Christendom. In this prophetic dilemma between personal religion and social justice, an ancient monk named Dorotheus, he said that we must think of God and humans as the center and circumference, respectively, of a circle. Anytime two of us humans move toward God in the center, we will of necessity be moving toward one another. Think about that. As the circle gets smaller, we become closer to each other. Likewise, if we are moving away from one another in ways such as the prophet describes, then we cannot be moving toward God. May it be so. Amen. Even though I work on Sabbath, I love the Sabbath here, and I shall commit time this week, as we all shall, to thank God by the honoring of Sabbath with our families, with our friends, with our co-workers, or those we meet on vacation. May God bless us as we recognize and honor God's wonderful gifts of Sabbath, as well as the commandments that we have often thought as rules but have actually become grace in our lives. Amen, and go in peace. That's not just a song we sing. Do I have power? And I'll let Justin figure it out in a minute. You got it? All right, I'm on. All right. But it's an act of love that we do, and hopefully all of us and you have felt that welcome that goes far beyond what we say. So I'd like to, first of all, say that I hope you folks have felt welcome today. And while we do not typically clap after musical performance, I think it would be appropriate to say, folks, we really appreciated that. What are you doing next Sunday? We'll have something else. Very good. Next Sunday. If you can, we'd love to have you join us. We consider that the continuation of worship. You must go. Go in the peace of God and enjoy however it is for you. Sabbath rest. Amen.